Who is wasted? Над Майданом висят чорні хмари і зітхо.
Добрі вечір і вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Pavlina, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have a Ukrainian recipe, an authentic one this time and quite contemporary. As well, we have Ukrainian Jewish heritage and we'll be telling you about an international commemoration next week and how Ukraine is commemorating that. As well, we will have some news stories from you courtesy Ukraine today that will be bringing you up to date on some of the tragic events that have occurred in Ukraine this past week. So stay tuned for all of that. We'll have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. Some of it new, some of it a little bit more traditional, some of it contemporary. As we started out this evening with our program, we started out with a very sad song, Kristina Volchak from Ukraine, and Heroi Ne Vmirayut, Heroes Never Die, and that is in honor of the tragic loss of life this past week and this past year and a bit in Ukraine. But we'll also bring you some upbeat music because that's what Ukrainians are all about and that is how we deal with the tragedy that is our history. So coming up next is a group from Toronto. I've been dying to get their music for a long, long time. I finally connected with them last fall when I was in Toronto at the Ukrainian Festival and finally we've got some music in over the Christmas season. We've got two CDs from Zirka and here they are now with a song from their CD called Songs for Slavko, Oy Smereko.
Лагатина зап'ядав вікно смерека, а прикинь дідівщина, так до неї так далеко.
Ой, смереко, розкажи мені, смереко, в чом рочиш ти так далеко, чарівна моя смереко. Ой, смереко, розкажи мені, смереко, чом рушиш ти так далеко, чарівна моя смереко. Озерце, бачу тебе я мушу, ти запала мені в серце, полонило мою душу.
Ой, смереко, розкажи мені, смереко, чом рушиш ти так далеко, чарівна моя смереко. Ой, смереко, розкажи мені, смереко, чом рушиш ти так далеко, чарівна моя смереко. Прилетіли, лиси
свою дівчину любу, ми з тобою не зустріли.
Ой, смереко, розкажи мені, смереко, чом рушиш ти так далеко, чарівна моя, смереко. Ой, смереко, розкажи мені, смереко, чом рушиш ти так далеко, чарівна моя, смереко.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Hi, I'm Vincent Reese from Edmonton's Cobblestone Freeway Cultural Tours with exciting news. Our 2015 tours are up and ready to go. Join us for a unique cultural tour. We have trips to Eastern Europe, including Western Ukraine, Hungary, and Croatia. Plus, we're going to Costa Rica, Brazil, and Argentina. So visit our website for photos and details. Cobblestone Freeway, we're in Edmonton and ready to go. So book today. Visit cobblestonefreeway.ca.
Протекла, мов кров з ножа, по степу тонка межа. Ліворуч битва, а справа бій, чигає смерть у далі голубі. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. Разом раз на 100 бійців один наказ. День за днем, хто знає де, був наказ, і сотня йде крізь вогонь і куль політ, крізь вугілля і крізь граніт. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. Ні, день за днем, заразом раз, на 100 бійців один наказ. З рубежу і на рубіж, з роздоріж до роздоріж. І так далеко твій рідний дім, кохана, жде тебе у мій. Нам маня, нас доля б'є,
Україну, як сонце любіть, як вітер, і трави, і води. Годину щасливу і в радості мить любіть у годину негоди. Любіть Україну у сні й наяву, вишневу свою Україну, красу її вічно живу і нову, і мову її солов'їну. Між братніх народів, мов садом рясним, сіяє вона над віками. Любіть Україну всім серцем своїм і всіми своїми ділами. Між братніх народів, мов садом рясним, сіяє вона над віками. Любіть Україну всім серцем своїм і всіми своїми ділами. Для нас вона в світі єдина, одна, в просторі, в солодкому чарі. Вона у зірках, і у вербах вона, і у кожному серця ударі. Юначе, хай буде для неї твій сміх, і сльози, і все до загину. Не можна любити народів других, коли ти не любиш в країну. Дівчино, як небо її голубе, люби її кожну хвилину. Коханий любить не захоче тебе, коли ти не любиш в країну. Любіть у труді, у ханні, в бою, як пісню, що лине зорею. Всім серцем любіть Україну свою, і вічні ми будемо з нею.
And two recent songs about the war in Ukraine. That last song you just heard was Donetsk Nash. It was the last battle cry of the Ukrainian cyborgs to protect and defend that airport, which unfortunately has fallen. And the song before you heard was the Ukrainian rendition of course, the popular American tune, The Green Berets, and in between, a poem by a child, which is what this war is all about. Ви слухаєте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції АМ 1320 у місті Ванкувері. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. And now, Ukrainian food flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Tonight I'll be sharing an original Ukrainian recipe that comes from a listener in Ukraine. It's called Kul Kubasa. Kubasa is the Ukrainian signature sausage. It is smoked sausage, traditionally made with pork, and is accented with garlic and spices. Sold in wide, long links, it has a medium texture. It's already cooked, but is usually reheated and sliced. As a substitute, use any mild smoked sausage. This dish is served with a Ukrainian favor winter salad. And here's the recipe for Ukrainian sauerkraut salad. Drain 2 cups of sauerkraut thoroughly. Fine chop 1 medium onion and toss in. Add in 3 to 4 tablespoons of oil and 2 tablespoons of sugar. Mix until blended and chill. The next recipe calls for a fatback, and I'd like to clarify what it really is. Fatback is often confused with salt pork, which comes from the sides and belly of a pig. Fatback is the fresh, unsmoked and unsalted layer of fat that runs along the animal's back. It is used to make lard and cracklings and for cooking. So, for Kul Kubasa, you'll need 200 grams or about 1/2 pound of lean kubasa sliced 1/2 inch thick, 125 grams or about 1/4 pound bacon, 125 grams or about 1/4 pound fatback diced, or 1/4 cup olive oil, 5 large potatoes baked, peeled, and quartered, 1 large onion sliced thinly in rings. And what you'll do is this. In a large skillet, over medium-low heat, fry the onion with the diced fatback or in olive oil until the onions are soft and slightly caramelized. Add in the sliced bacon and fry until crisp. Then add in the slices of kubasa and potato wedges, mixing to coat with the onion and bacon and to heat thoroughly. Sprinkle with salt to taste and serve with a sauerkraut salad and a shot of ice-cold vodka. A few tips on vodka. Always drink it cold. Always in small glasses. Always down it all at once. Always have food with vodka. Whether you're drinking clear yellow or red vodka, the same rules apply. So try it. It's Ukrainian. And our warmest thanks to Mr. Cool Ukrainian, George in Kiev, for sharing this recipe for Kul Kubasa. Дуже дякую.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Наш Голос Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Home of the Cossacks.
Hey, hey.
Go back,
go back
siege,
to the siege
in the heart of Ukraine.
Kneel down and pray. The hetman must lead them to war on this day. From the left and the right, we'll pull the horses in. We'll defend our precious steps till the end. We'll go back, to the siege,
to the siege,
home of the Cossacks.
We'll
go back,
to the siege,
in the heart of Ukraine.
From Winnipeg, that was a group called Siege and a song called Back to the Siege. Up next, the latest Ukrainian tribute to the Russian president.
Честного чего? Все вместе! Путин, hello! Молодцы! Отлично! Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла! И еще раз нам все! Путин, hello! Спорта по сортирам замочит всех, не пощадит. Земное небо стало тиром, сбивает все, что там летит. И все равно он самый честный и не боится ничего. И журавель самый известный. Давайте чествовать его все вместе. Путин! Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла. Еще раз.
Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, a radio series on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, sponsored by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto, Ontario. January 27th marks the anniversary of the liberation of the Nazi German concentration and extermination camp of Auschwitz-Birkenau in 1945.
50 years later, in November of 2005, the United Nations General Assembly proclaimed January 27th International Day of Commemoration in memory of the victims of the Holocaust, or simply International Holocaust Remembrance Day. The Holocaust was a defining moment in the history of humanity. During World War II, some 6 million Jewish men, women, and children were murdered in a continent-wide program carried out by Nazi Germany and its allies, a program that was intent on the total destruction of all Jewish communities and every Jewish person. Driven by a fundamentally racist ideology, Nazi Germany also persecuted and killed millions of other people. These included Slavs, Roma, Sinti, the elderly, the disabled. Some were considered by the Nazis as Untermenschen, essentially subhuman. Others were targeted for political, ideological, or behavioral reasons. UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, believes that learning the history of the Holocaust will help us better understand the causes of society's descent into genocide. It will also help raise awareness of the need to nurture peace and human rights in order to prevent mass violence in today's world. International Holocaust Remembrance Day presents an opportunity to commemorate Holocaust victims in a global effort and to alert younger generations about the dangers of racist and fanatic ideologies. Ukraine has taken several steps to take advantage of this opportunity at the institutional level as well as smaller-scale grassroots community endeavors. In 2002, the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences established the Ukrainian Center for Holocaust Studies in Kyiv to pursue Holocaust research and education. Research projects at the center encompass a wide variety of aspects of the Holocaust, from Nazi ideology, anti-Semitism, and Holocaust denial, to comparative research of the Holocaust and other cases of genocide. The center's education component involves the publication of its own scholarly works on the Holocaust, as well as supporting Holocaust education across Ukraine. The center consults with Holocaust history teachers in secondary and post-secondary institutions, promotes the creation of curricula and manuals on the Holocaust, and organizes annual competitions of students' research and artworks. The center also participates in international projects with academic institutions all over the world. On January 24, 2014, an art exhibit opened at the Ukrainian Center for Holocaust Studies entitled History and Lessons of the Holocaust, The Holocaust Through the Eyes of Children in Ukraine. The exhibit is a collection of artworks created by students from all over the country for an annual competition launched by the Ukrainian Center for Holocaust Studies in 2008. The students looked into histories of their hometowns, regions, fates of individual families, commemoration practices, and other aspects relating to this experience of genocide. Visit their website to find out more. Just search for the Ukrainian Center for Holocaust Studies in Kyiv. On a smaller but no less significant scale are independent performing arts groups, such as the Shalom Aleichem Jewish Music and Drama Theater of Kyiv. This small but outstanding theater company will premiere its first work of the new year, a play entitled The Jewish Wife, to commemorate the 2015 International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Based on the novella by the noted German playwright and theater director Bertolt Brecht, the story revolves around a German man who leaves his wife simply because she is Jewish, fearing that this will cause him problems. The play will be performed on January 27th at the Pushkin Museum. These are just a few examples of how Ukraine is keeping alive the memory of the Holocaust in order to learn from the past for the sake of the future. To find out more, follow us, the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter and Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, on Facebook, Twitter, and online. Shalom.
ж нікого не любила, тільки Гриця та Даніла, тільки Петра та Степана, кучерявого Івана.
Дунаю, Дунаю, Дунаєчко, Дунаю, яка земна вода на краю, на краю. Дунаю, Дунаю,
Дунаєчко, Дунаю,
яка земна вода на краю, на краю.
Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's English language news service, Ukraine Today. As of this morning, a deadly shelling in the eastern Ukrainian city of Mariupol. Since this report early this morning from Ukraine Today, the number of people dead and wounded continues to climb, with at least 30 dead and 100 wounded. As well, terrorist leader Alexander Zakharchenko is now reported to have claimed responsibility.
At least 15 people have died and 87 have been injured, according to the Ukrainian government, following shelling in East Ukraine on the government-controlled city of Mariupol. Local officials said Russian-backed insurgents were behind the attack. They have denied the charge. Meanwhile, Oleksandr Turchinov, secretary of Ukraine's National Defense Council, described the incident as, quote, another bloody crime against humanity committed by the Russian military and the bands of terrorists under their complete control. Local residents told Reuters the attack began early in the morning on Saturday, forcing them to flee to their basements. A crowded open-air market was reportedly among the areas struck by shelling. According to AP, the Mariupol City Council has urged residents not to panic and to ignore rumors that Ukrainian armed forces were planning to withdraw from the city. The shelling has been condemned by the international community. The Lithuanian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has released a statement saying, "We are shocked by this morning's military attack against the city of Mariupol, which killed civilians, among them children. We express our deep sympathy for the families of those killed and to all Ukrainian people. Russia must admit its responsibility for the continuous violence and withdraw its military forces from Ukraine." Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk has called an emergency meeting of the National Security and Defense Council in response to the atrocity. The meeting will be attended by the head of the OSCE's monitoring mission in East Ukraine.
Police have said at least 10 people were killed and scores injured after Kremlin-backed insurgents launched a barrage of rockets at Mariupol in southeastern Ukraine. The attack follows continued shelling of Ukrainian positions by pro-Russia fighters in Donetsk and Luhansk regions. The leader of the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic, Alexander Zakharchenko, on January 23rd announced that fighters under his command would not abide by a ceasefire negotiated in Minsk in September.
Earlier this week, we saw the fall of the Donetsk airport, completely destroying the structure and killing 37 of the heroic defenders known as Ukrainian cyborgs. Several were also captured by the Russian terrorists and are being mistreated with gross violations of international laws governing the treatment of prisoners of war.
The airport is abandoned. Now these guys do their best to hold on their positions in the Pisky village, but it's a hard job to do. If they step back, they would open for their adversaries their roads to the west.
After 242 days and nights of attacks, the pro-Russian insurgents captured the ruins of the Donetsk International Airport. Everything in the complex that could serve as a base for the defenders is totally destroyed. And the last cyborg soldiers are being withdrawn to the right sector fighter's stronghold in the Pisky village.
Airport. Airport sounds like a mantra, but in fact, no one understands what it is on the ground. 10 square miles of open territory. We held it as long as we could, and now it's just ruins. The roof fell on the heads of our soldiers.
The handful of Ukrainians restrained huge forces of the insurgents. Perhaps we reveal the top military secret, but the defenders were not more than 4 dozens of fighters. Now the half of them is taken prisoners of war. The figure of killed in action is still unknown, but the Right Sector Assault Company commander claims some of Cyborg soldiers are still fighting in the ruins.
Definitely there are people there now. Soldiers are coming from the terminal and they are saying that there are fighters there.
Some of them joined the defenders of the strategic village of Pisky, southwest to the airport. And the additional forces of Ukrainian army are being sent here to the cutting edge of defense lines.
The situation is stable. Everything is under control. We press them. Can you hear our artillery? Is this Ukrainian artillery working? Of course, Ukrainian.
But not only Ukrainians fight in Pisky. This man is a former corporal of Latvian army. But as soon as the war in the East Ukraine had started, he left his service and joined the Right Sector Battalion as a volunteer.
I came here to fight against Russian imperialism. There was a war in Georgia yesterday, there is a war today in Ukraine, and tomorrow it will be in the Baltic countries. Putin will never stop. This is an illusion that he would stop in Crimea or Donbass or someplace else. He will stop where we stop him. And better to stop him here than in the capital of my country, Riga.
So the brothers in arms are intended to stop him here and then to regain control of the Donetsk airport and the rest of Ukraine. Andriy Tsaplyenko and Dmitry Bolshakov from the Pisky village for Ukraine Today.
Also in Donetsk this week, another deadly civilian bus attack by Russian terrorists, suspected to have been staged in order to discredit the Ukrainian government.
Ukrainian military spokesman Andriy Lysenko has said that a blast Thursday morning in the city of Donetsk, which killed at least 8 people, was the result of a mortar shot fired from a moving car within insurgent-held territory. The projectile struck a trolley bus during rush hour, sending shrapnel flying and blowing out nearby shop windows. The blast followed a night of intense fighting at the city's main airport. It coincided with diplomatic talks to end the conflict in East Ukraine involving the Ukrainian and Russian foreign ministers. According to preliminary information, the shelling was committed from a mortar that had been moving around the city by car, a so-called moving mortar. We point out that the closest positions of the anti-terrorist operation forces are located in the town of Pisky. Thus, the site of the tragedy is behind the boundaries of the activities of Ukrainian artillery of such a type. Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov, according to BBC reports, has said that Ukrainian forces are to blame for the bus atrocity, which he described as a monstrous new crime and a coarse provocation. Meanwhile, Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk said Russia should bear responsibility for the blast because the country is giving military support to the insurgents. Russian terrorists have today committed another horrible act against humanity, and responsibility for that lies on the Russian Federation. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin described the Donetsk bus stop tragedy on Twitter as, quote, heartbreaking, and said that Russia must stop terrorists who kill Ukrainian civilians. Observers from the OSCE monitoring mission in East Ukraine are carrying out an assessment at the scene of the explosion.
Russian President Putin is furious with Poland for undermining the Kremlin's long-running smear campaign depicting Ukrainians as Nazis.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has accused Poland of an obscene subversion of history after the Polish Foreign Minister credited Ukrainian soldiers, rather than the Soviet Red Army, with liberating Auschwitz 70 years ago. The war of words erupted on Wednesday after Polish Foreign Minister Grzegorz Schetyna defended not inviting Russian President Putin to the 70th anniversary commemorations of the liberation of the infamous death camp by insisting it was largely Ukrainians who freed the camp prisoners. January 27th will mark the 70th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz camp, where about 1.5 million people were systematically murdered by the Nazis.
Ukraine's army will get two new ambulances, courtesy the efforts of two Ukrainian media companies.
Ukrainian volunteers have again showed their support for their country's military by providing it with two ambulances in the city of Dnipropetrovsk. Money for the vehicles was raised by volunteer organization Defense Fund Ukraine. The ambulances have artificial respirators, a defibrillator, and different kinds of stretchers. Stationary ones, also ones for evacuating people wounded with fractures. There are also oxygen cylinders and various other pieces of essential equipment. Defense Fund Ukraine was able to raise $30,000 with help from Ukrainian TV channel One Plus One and also received support from Ukraine Today. The ambulances have been equipped to survive extreme conditions and also house the most up-to-date equipment, which allows for the resuscitation of the seriously wounded.
This past week marked the one-year anniversary of another bloody turn at Maidan in Kyiv.
Kyiv residents have paid tribute to those who were killed 1 year ago during the Euromaidan protest movement. This ceremony took place on Ukraine's National Day of Unity. The first victim was a 20-year-old Armenian-Ukrainian named Sergei Nigoyan, who died from bullet wounds early on January 22, 2014. A march in honor of Nigoyan began in Kyiv's main square, where his tent stood a year earlier. Kyiv residents brought flowers and candles to Hrushevskovo Street, where Nigoyan was gunned down, and observed a minute of silence. Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk also joined the march and brought flowers to the memorial, but he was unable to say when those responsible for the death of protesters during the demonstrations would be punished. The press conferences of Ukraine's law enforcement agencies will be conducted today. I think you will receive all the answers. But the press conferences did not provide activists with satisfying answers, with lawyers calling the investigation a show trial. Only ordinary policemen are being charged. People who are guilty are not represented in the prosecutor's materials. In Armenia, in the city of Spitak, residents had planned to name a square after Nigoyan, but then changed their minds. The square, which had been considered for the change, currently bears the name of Viktor Yanukovych, Ukraine's former president who was ousted in the Euromaidan protests. Yanukovych is a good man for Armenians. He's done a lot for us. There was a discussion to rename the street. I think this square should keep its name. Let them name another square in honor of Nigoyan. Apart from Nigoyan, Ukrainians throughout the country are remembering all the activists who died during the Euromaidan protests.
Some Ukrainian families are benefiting from the demise of corrupt politicians.
Summer houses of former Ukrainian officials in prestigious parts of the capital are now available for rent. After the benefits for Ukraine's officials had been canceled, many of them left their elite houses, not willing to pay for them. Hanna and her family were among the first to rent one of the properties in Konchazospa, a luxurious suburb of the capital. There is pure nature here, clean air. There is no gas pollution, as it is in Kyiv. The furniture is a little bit old, but everything here is good. Such apartments can cost $300 a month. They include furniture, free cleaning twice a week, and famous neighbors. Locals say Ukraine's former president Leonid Kuchma and ex-parliament chairman Vladimir Litvin also live nearby. The summer house of former Prime Minister Mykola Azarov costs more than $5,000 a month to rent. Some 12 families have already settled in the houses.
And finally, Ukraine Today examines recent Western media coverage on Ukraine.
For the last few weeks, there's been an increase in the fighting in eastern Ukraine and also an increase in Russia's military presence. That statement has been made by NATO, U.S. military commanders, and Ukraine, all while Russia continues to deny it has sent any of its troops to Ukraine. Today, we take a look at what international media has been reporting about the surge in aggression. First, we tune to Bloomberg. They have put together a piece called Putin's Ukraine War is Back. Now, it's back in the sense that after a lull in fighting following the Minsk ceasefire back in September, violence has returned to the east of Ukraine to a level not seen since the summer. And now there could be a movement afoot to decrease sanctions on Russia. Bloomberg writes, it is a curious movement for the European Union's top foreign policy official to bring up the prospect of normalizing relations with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The EU's foreign policy chief is Federica Mogherini, and she recently floated a paper outlining how the EU could lift sanctions on Russia that have been in place over its invasion of Ukraine. Everybody wants to see the sanctions removed someday, writes Bloomberg. Yet to do so before Putin withdraws Russian troops from Ukraine and its border, and before that border is put under the control of international monitors, would be to waste the pressure already applied. Next up, we take a look at the Washington Post. They've run a piece titled, Russia's invasion of Ukraine should cause much more than a hiccup in relations. They're referring to relations between the international community and Russia, and quote Kadri Leek from the European Council on Foreign Relations. Now, according to him, many Western leaders persist in seeing the Ukraine invasion as a hiccup in relations with Russia that can be smoothed over, rather than a demonstration that Mr. Putin's agenda is fundamentally at odds with Europe's security interests and its values. Because of their attachment to the hiccup theory, says Leek, governments, including the Obama administration, have refused to take steps such as providing the Ukrainian government with defensive weapons that could help stop Mr. Putin's aggression. Instead, they concoct futile schemes for re-engaging the Russian ruler. Well, thanks for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow for another wrap of international press writing about Ukraine and Eastern Europe.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv. What's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial, and streaming online at chly.ca. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. and Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nash Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.nashholos.com. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, ще час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Щоб волю мати, треба спершу себе об'єднати. And our proverb of the week translates as freedom is built on unity. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us home, we've got Prairie Crocus from Winnipeg and the off-to-battle Kolomeka. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening and Dobranich!
Thank you.